Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says that we were dead to sin, but we are alive in Christ. Amen? Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. And the title of this message is called Let's Talk. Let's Talk. It's a focus really on communication, which is a very vital, important part of our interaction with others. Communication is defined this way. It's the sharing or exchanging of information along with the emotions that accompany the information shared between individuals or groups of individuals. So when you communicate, not only do you share what you think about something, but you also share about how you feel about something. Usually communication involves this kind of a process, if you can follow along with me. Basically, you say something and you know what you think you are saying when you say it. Then when someone else hears you, they listen to what you say, but they might hear what you say in a different way than you intended it for it to be heard. Then the people who hear you, they respond to you on the basis of what they thought they heard you say and how they felt about what they thought you were saying. Then you hear what they say in response to you, but you don't exactly know what they meant when they said what they said, but you think that maybe you do, so you respond to what you think maybe they said. Are you as confused as I am?
Yes.
Okay. And that's exactly how confusing potentially this whole matter of communication can be. Communication can be confusing sometimes, but thankfully the glue to a relationship is not communication, but it's commitment. Commitment is the glue that holds us together. It's the glue that ties a family together. It's the glue that keeps friends together. But although commitment is the glue, communication is important. Communication is so important. For instance, let me give you this example. In a car, you know, you have to have oil in your engine because when you have that oil in your engine, it helps everything to run smoothly. Without oil in your car, what would happen? It blows up. It would fail. It won't function. It won't do what it's supposed to do. On your handout, it says this. It says the oil of a relationship is communication. It's the oil that makes things run smoothly in your relationships. It's the oil of conversation and communication that helps us to say the things that we want to say, but in the way that we want to say them. So today, I'm going to talk to you about how to have healthy conversations in your relationships, but I realize that I have a major liability. I'm a man. And men are not really good when it comes to communication. Did somebody say amen? In truth, I've had about 50 or so years to try to work on this and try to figure some of this stuff out, 20 years or so with my birth family and the last 30 years or so with my new family. But I'm a slow learner, and I'm just trying to do the best I can and take what I'm learning and pass it on to you. But thankfully for you, I have help. I have this. And God has something to say about having healthy communication. When surveys are made about marriages that don't make it, that don't succeed, 86% of those surveys report that there's a breakdown in communication. Sometimes people don't know how to communicate. Sometimes people just don't talk to each other. But on the flip side, so often when a couple is in the premarital stage, let's just say that they're dating, one of the main things that they seem to have in common with each other is the ability to communicate, to talk with each other, right? Man, you'll hear dating couples say things like this: "We just love to be together. We just stay up all night and talk. I feel so open and free when I talk with him or I talk with her. It's just marvelous. Everything is wonderful. We're soulmates. We connect so well with each other. I love her. I love him. But things change. When difficulties come, you begin to hear things like, we just didn't understand each other. Somehow we couldn't seem like we could talk with each other anymore. So there is something that happens in relationships, and even friendships for that matter, that sabotages that whole matter of communication. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, is the clearest passage in the Bible on the subject of communication. But let me say this, there's different forms of communication. You have the communication of your time. When you spend time with a person, you are communicating with them. You're communicating something. You're communicating your care and concern and interest in that person you're spending time with. There's a communication of your gifts. When you give somebody something, are you communicating with them? Of course you are. And then there's a communication of your touch. When you touch someone, you're communicating with them. But I'm talking primarily today in terms of communication with words. When you read what these verses have to say about words and the importance of communicating with words and how to communicate, you learn some very crucial principles about how to have healthy conversations here from God's Word. And I want to share some of these things with you this morning. Some things that the Bible says that we need to eliminate, but the Bible also suggests some things that we need to integrate into our communication. So let me share with you the steps that we need to take if we're going to improve communication in our relationships according to God's Word. So the first one is this, in your notes, it says eliminate some problems. Eliminate some problems. There are some problems that have to be eliminated from this whole matter of communication if we're going to talk with another person the way that we should talk to them. If you look with me at chapter number 4, verse number 25, this is where we left off last week. I'm just going to do a brief review and then we'll move on. Verse number 25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So in verse number 25, he says, therefore, putting away lying. You have to, your notes say, you have to eliminate the dishonest element in your communication. In other words, you have to eliminate lying. Have you ever seen something that's been infested with termites? Raise your hand. Okay. Here's an example of something on the screen. It's not a pretty sight, is it? You know, kind of like this photo. It's infested with termites. And termites do something. What do termites do? They eat. They destroy. But when we talk about lies and lying, lies in a relationships are like termites. They're the termites of trust. They eat away at trust. Slowly but surely, they destroy trust. When you lie to your mate, or you lie to your kids, or kids, when you lie to your parents, or when you lie to your friend, you lie to your coworker, you lie to your boss, you lie to your employees, you lie to your teachers, these lies become like termites that eat away at the trust. And lies can become lethal. Because when you speak lies, when you deal with others on the basis of lies, it just shatters trust. They don't feel like they can trust you anymore. According to the Bible, we're born with a sinful nature, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And that includes telling lies. There's a good cross reference. I'm not going to turn to it now, but if you want to jot it down, it's Psalm 58:3. And in Psalm 58:3, that verse basically says this. It says that we're all born into this sin nature that includes the propensity for us to tell lies. You know, we're born knowing how to tell lies. Let me ask you this question. Did anyone have to teach you how to tell a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Not many hands went up. You know, when I was little, my parents didn't say, okay, now little Richie, when you want to tell a lie, this is how you do it. They didn't have to do that, did they? Our parents don't need to do that. It didn't happen that way. I was taught other things. I was taught how to read. I was taught how to ride a bicycle. I was taught so many things, but no one taught me how to lie. We didn't teach our kids how to lie, but that tendency to lie, the Bible says, is in us, and starts at a young age. And unfortunately, some liars just improve with age. So what's the biblical solution? Eliminate it. The Bible says putting it away. And the rest of that verse says you have to commit yourself to honesty. You commit yourself to being honest with one another in your conversations and with your lives, and that will help keep your relationships healthy and happy. But let's move on. Verse 29, new stuff. Here's the second element that we have to eliminate in verse number 29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. I'm going to stop there. Not only do you have to eliminate the dishonest element of lying, but your notes say that you have to eliminate the distasteful element, the unwholesome words, as the King James Version says, the corrupt communication. The word corrupt or the word communication from verse number 29 is in the original Greek language was written this way. It comes from the word rotten. And it was used to describe like rotten fruits, rotten vegetables, spoiled meats, kind of like what you'll see on the screen here, like that. Look pretty appetizing? No. That's disgusting. You know, just like we would never eat a rotten apple like that, we should never, the Bible says, engage in rotten speech. Because rotten food can make us sick. You know, if you eat a rotten apple or you eat a rotten piece of meat, that could even maybe kill you. But in that same way, when you use rotten speech against someone else, that can make them sick. Sick to their stomach. Sick in other ways. It could even kill. Well, how's that, Pastor Rich? Well, rotten speech can kill relationships. And again, we've got to make sure that we keep this in mind. And I don't care, you know, I know that we live in the world and there's a lot of corrupt communication and unwholesome words that are prevalent around us. And I don't care if you have a friend that uses rotten speech or you see it in videos that you want. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that rotten speech is good just because the world uses it. Amen? That's the world. The Bible says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Romans 12:2 says that you should be conformed. You should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, corrupt communication or unwholesome words, that doesn't just refer to using foul language. Can you communicate with someone corruptly without ever saying a cuss word? Yeah, of course you can. We all know that. The tongue is a hard thing to control. And the Bible says it can be a powerful weapon that can be used for good or for bad. We all know that. And this is what the Lord says about it in his word in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can hurt people or you can help others by what you say. Death or life, the two extreme opposites are in the power of the tongue. And even the littlest thing can cause so much damage, the Bible says. This little member of your body can cause so much damage. But even the words out of our mouth, they can be used to cause so much damage. Even a few words or a few words could be used to cause so much help. It's our choice based on what comes out of our mouth. I remember that I was shopping in a retail store, and I was trying to find something on the shelf, and I couldn't find, and there was a lady next to me that she helped me. She pointed out to me where it was, and I looked back at her, and I simply said three words to her. And the three words I said to her were, God bless you. That's all I said. And when I said those three words to her, tears started coming down her eyes, down her cheek. And I couldn't understand why. But just those three words were the three words that she needed to hear for some reason at that time, at that place. And that has always stood out to me. You know, some use God's name in vain, but we can use God's name to encourage. We can use God's name to lift up others. God bless you. God loves you. You see, it's such a powerful thing to be able to use God's name in a way that is uplifting to others. The brother of Jesus, his name was James. James said these words in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. He says, with it, speaking of our tongue, our mouth, he says, with it we bless the Lord and we bless the Father. God bless you. And with it we also curse men who are made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring yield at the same opening sweet and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or a vine figs? So no spring can yield both salt water and fresh water. There's a process of corrupt communication that happens in a relationship. And it goes like this. Usually it starts with complaining. Do you ever have a sore and you just start picking at it till it bleeds? I did some work on the walk through Bethlehem Field when we were tearing stuff down, and I got little scratches and I had like a sore, and I was doing that same thing. I was just picking at it. But that can also happen in our relationships. When we find a sore, so to speak, with someone, and we just keep picking at it, keep picking at them until it bleeds. And some people are just constant complainers. It's just part of, like, their makeup. They walk into a room, and they just find something to complain about. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. It's too loud in here. It's too quiet in here. This seat's too hard. This seat's too soft. You know, when those people come, those are the people that you see and you do this. You start walking the other way because those are not the most pleasant people to be around that are constant complainers. But the thing about it is this, is sometimes complaining is attached to blame. And what I mean about that is the complaining now compounds to add criticism. We begin to criticize others. We advance from complaining about something to criticizing someone. And we hear words like this: you can't ever do anything right. You're always making mistakes like that. Why are you always like this? We get into critical mode. And by the way, nobody ever, never, always does something. After that, be careful. Because when you find yourself complaining and you compound it with criticizing, it can take one more step. And that next step is contempt. That's when the person begins to have contempt for others. And again, you turn it up a notch. Why can't you be more like so-and-so? Why can't you cook more like? Why can't you look like her? She's so beautiful. That's all corrupt communication. Those are all unwholesome words. That's stuff the Bible says that should be eliminated from our communication with others. Kathy's going to come up and she's going to give you a visual example of that. I think it's on.
Okay, there we go. We were talking about the message, and we were talking about communication, and sometimes I think that people look at somebody and they go, well, I can give them some constructive criticism, or I can help them, like, you know, I don't know, maybe your message could have been a little bit more exciting last week, or that I think your illustration could have been a little funnier, or maybe, I don't know, you could have been
Can you cut our mic, please?
It's just an illustration. Just an illustration. Okay. You're really funny, honey. But we look at them and we go, we can just, you know, snip off the rough edges. You know, didn't do much damage, did it? We think. But what we have failed to take into account is the extra layers of their life and experiences maybe that they have dealt with before. Maybe they grew up with a family who was not supportive, who compared them to other siblings or whatever. Or maybe with their friends at school that they never picked them for the team because they couldn't play well enough or they didn't play as good. Or maybe at a job they worked hard, but nobody ever acknowledged the work that they did. We really have no idea all these layers that have just built up in them, you know, and where we think that we're just clipping one little rough edge, we've actually cut through all of these layers. And we really have no idea of the amount of damage that we've done to them.
That's good. Thank you. Solomon, probably the wisest man who ever lived, is quoted as saying this in Proverbs 21:23. He says, "Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble." That's a good verse, isn't it? You know, sometimes it's better not to say anything at all, something especially that we might regret saying. There are legitimate complaints that, of course, we should say. There are things that we should be angry about, so don't get me wrong. We shouldn't keep our mouth shut entirely. But we must guard our tongues, is what this Bible says, against profanity, against off-color jokes, about sharing dirty stories, gossip, criticism of other people, constant complaining, demeaning comments. Let me remind you again from last week, Jesus said that our words are a reflection of our hearts, right? When our words are wholesome and when they're good, it gives evidence that we're yielded to Christ in us. But when our speech is foul and when it's rotten, it gives evidence to the opposite. But praise the Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's possible to control the tongue. When the tongue is brought under the control of the Lord, we will use it in the right manner. At the end of verse number 29, look at it with me. Paul tells us how we can do that. When the tongue is under control, we will use it in a way, the Bible says, in a way which is good for the building up, that it may give grace to the listeners. Your notes say that we will use our tongue in a way in building up others. When the heart is right, the tongue will reveal it by speaking words that help others. We will edify them. We will encourage them. We will uplift them. We will be constructive. We will be a blessing with our words and not a curse. The criticizing, the complaining, and the contempt, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, we'll do this. It'll go down. And again, don't get me wrong, there will be times where our speech must be corrective in nature. We need to talk to someone about something that needs to be fixed. But when those times arrive, we do it with a heart of love, with the goal of helping the other person grow in their relationship with Christ. But when the tongue is under control, not only will we use it to help build others up, but your notes say we'll be giving grace to the listeners. And that phrase has the idea of being gracious in our speech. Music to our ears. And that's really the way that Jesus spoke. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it's recorded. And it says, "And all bear him witness." This is speaking of Jesus. "And they wondered of the what kind of words? Gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And being followers of Jesus, this should characterize our speech as well. Paul said it this way, and I'll leave you with this verse. Paul said to the believers, church age believers today in Colossians 4, 6, he said, "Let your speech always be with what?
Grace.
Be with grace." Just like Jesus' speech. "Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you should answer everyone." Amen? So I'm finished talking. And now it's time for you to make it personal based on what you've learned from God's word. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me here this morning in this time of reflection? How has God's word spoke to you this morning? And this is where you reflect and you respond accordingly on what God has shown you today from his word. So within the quietness of this time, take time to examine your heart. Take time to examine your speech. How you've been communicating with others, especially in your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, others that you have close contact with. Are you using those gracious words as Jesus has used? Is your speech being seasoned with salt? Is it being used to build up others around you? Are you giving grace to the listeners? If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been transformed by his Spirit, you are a new creature in Christ. So let's let it show up in the way that we use our words. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us, Lord, in this area in our life. Help us to use our words in a way that will show our love to others as well as glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray.